You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, and I couldn't be more pleased to say we are joined by Claudia Rosette, one of the country's most tenacious, indefatigable, and effective investigative reporters. She's been doing it throughout her distinguished career at places notably like the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and elsewhere. She has also been, and is most recently now, a journalist in residence with the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. You can find her columns at Forbes.com and PJ Media as well. It is always a pleasure to have her with us. Claudia, thank you for finding a few minutes. I know you're in the midst of Grand Central Station, so I know we may have some competition for your attention, but we're glad to have you.
Thank you, Frank. It's great to be with you.
Listen, Claudia, one of the things that you talked about in a recent column was that we've entered a period where, for a combination of reasons probably, but not least the administration's conduct here in this country, of open season on the free world. I thought that'd be a perfect leitmotif for what we're going to talk about in a moment about the UN. But just what did you mean by that, and why should we be concerned?
Well, Frank, we have an American administration that has for years at this point failed to stand up for America's interests. In fact, invited, shaken hands with, signed deals with, invited predation by some of the world's worst anti-American dictatorships. And at this point, everybody's got the message. The whole world has seen this. And that basically the dictators of the planet are licking their chops. The question now is, how much can you stuff your pockets with before 2017?
Yeah, and you don't mean simply stuffing your pockets with money. Unfortunately, it's territorial aggrandizement. It's aggression of all kinds.
Yeah, Russia moving into Syria from the Iranians agreeing to the nuclear deal and then immediately moving to arrest Americans, increase the number of Americans in their prisons to violate the deal with, we're already seeing people behaving as if there are no sanctions, even though in theory they're still in place.
Our guest is Claudia Rosette. She is journalist in residence with the Foundation for Defense of Democracies these days. She writes brilliantly at Forbes.com and PJ Media. She is also a prize-winning reporter, investigative journalist, editorial writer, and more with such publications as The Wall Street Journal in the past. Claudia, you were talking about how we've really kind of incentivized the bad actors on the planet at the moment to see this as a window of opportunity. The remainder of the Obama administration, at the very least, and perhaps it will extend beyond, given the damage he's doing to our reputation and our military capabilities and the like. But talk a little bit about this through the prism of what you see and track so closely going on at the United Nations at the moment. Perhaps we might start with North Korea, one of the particularly bad actors. What are they up to there at the moment?
Well, North Korea, Frank, is under sanctions by the UN for its nuclear and ballistic missile programs. That has not stopped North Korea from threatening a fourth nuclear test, from continuing to develop its ballistic missiles. And the news about the sanctions is, well, the UN has these, almost roughly half the member states have not even submitted to the UN the required reports on how they plan to implement these. In other words, it's a gigantic fig leaf, Frank. There are a lot of countries that don't bother with doing anything about it at all, which North Korea can use to advantage. I'll add one more thing. There was a searing report about human rights violations in North Korea produced out of the UN Human Rights Council, which for once did get something right on that. But this was just died, Frank. It made it to the Security Council last December, where Russia and China threatened to veto any further action. And so far, that's been it. There's just nothing else. So in a sense, again, it's misleading. It's a fig leaf that suggests there is action when, in fact, really nothing is being done.
Well, as you say, they may have gotten that right, the Human Rights Council. It's the sort of broken clock syndrome, isn't it? Twice a day, they get it right. But the rest of the time, they seem to be showing what they can do when they put their minds to holding nations accountable, or for that matter, blaming them for trumped up causes with respect to the nation of Israel. What's happening there, Claudia? And tie this back into what we were discussing in terms of how U.S. conduct may be incentivizing some of these folks to behave badly.
Well, the message has been the U.S. does not really stand up for its allies, and its major ally in the Middle East is the democratic country of Israel. And what we have is UNESCO, the U.N. Cultural Organization, which has been passing resolutions deciding that landmark sites in Jerusalem are Palestinian and not Israeli. This is a political decision, not something based on archaeology, history, and so on.
But before you leave that, Claudia, some in your reporting has been about the efforts that this UNESCO operation has been making to undo legislative bars on our funding this organization. What's up with that at the moment?
In 2011, the UNESCO, which is based in Paris, very swank, very bad operation, voted to admit the Palestinians as full members, which triggered a U.S. law that prohibits U.S. funding for any multilateral organization that allows the Palestinians full membership before they have fulfilled the promises they made, Frank, in the Oslo Accords to negotiate in really in good faith a real peace with Israel, which they certainly have not done. And anyway, UNESCO went ahead anyway. The U.S. was required by law to pull the funding. The Obama administration is not happy about that. They would like to be pouring money, your tax dollars, into this outfit. And UNESCO's head, Irina Bokova, who now would like to become Secretary General of the U.N., that's her current campaign, has been lobbying since that happened. She poured a lot of effort and resources into lobbying the U.S. to overturn America's own laws, so that hundreds of million dollars of dollars could once again flow to UNESCO. This effectively Israeli trashing, anti-Semitic, and in many of its ways, thug-dominated.
Claudia, let's turn to Cuba for a moment. You've pointed out in a column recently that the president's outstretched hand to the Cuban regime of the Castro brothers has been met with pretty much the same kind of contempt that we've found from the Iranians. What's happening in the UN with respect to Cuba?
Well, we saw this parade of dictators during the General Assembly in September, where the Cuba's president came, and Raul Castro came and spoke at the UN, and Cuba is now sponsoring anti-U.S. resolutions at the U.N. Every year, the U.N. General Assembly passes a resolution condemning the U.S. for the embargo in Cuba. Well, despite the enormous set of concessions made by President Obama to normalize relations with Cuba, the embargo depends on Congress, which does not see an argument for getting rid of it so far. President Obama has not successfully made that case. I think because you can't. But what Cuba did was introduce a resolution yet again to say the General Assembly calls on the U.S. to immediately lift what they call the illegal embargo and so on. In other words, the Obama administration, which had been planning to abstain from that resolution, even they found it so offensive that they voted against it. So with a note that they regretted that Cuba, despite all the things that have been done for them, was going ahead with this really uncalled for resolution at this point.
I find it pretty regrettable, too, as I do their a deal with Cuba to provide life support to that odious regime. Claudia, we have to let it go at that for the moment. Thank you for finding time in the midst of your transit of Grand Central Station. God bless you. It's always good to talk with you. I'm so grateful for the work you do at Forbes and PJ Media. Come back to us again very soon. Next up, Congressman Tom Marino joins us about emerging threats to the electric grid and more. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.